Down a little bit. Check 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. How's that? Sounds good to me? Okay. All right. We are in the final chapter of Revelation, and I understand that Dale got you through verse 4 Sunday. Is that correct? Okay. I find it interesting that these last probably six chapters could really be three chapters, because what was, you know, we saw that, well, chapter 21 and 22 is a good bit like 18 and 19, how they were, you know, all talking about the same thing, and 16 and 17 were talking about pretty much the same thing. So I find that to be interesting. The one thing that I find particularly interesting about chapter 22 is that I think there is a definite shift here in the chapter. So I think, you know, it's been interesting to been in on whoever made the decision of where we're going to make the chapter breaks and that type of thing, how they made the decision that they did. But I think the chapter break would probably be better served at, in other words, if verse 6 was verse 1, because there's a definite shift there. But nevertheless, chapter 21, chapter 22, basically, what are we shown in these two chapters? Anything? Nothing? Were you all awake when Dale was teaching those? Okay, which is what? Where are they? In heaven. Okay, so we see a lot of terminology that has been, you know, new heavens, new earth, you know, that throws people for a loop and say, well, what, are we going to start all over again? No, it's just like, you know, everything in Revelation has been figurative, symbolic. And we recognize that the heavens and the earth, that's where we live, right? That's our environment, okay? So he's saying there's going to be a new heaven, a new environment. Who's going to live in this new environment? The righteous are going to live in that new environment. Well, where is that new environment? It's heaven. It's in the presence of God. It's where there is no night there, okay? It's, you know, God is the source of light. All of those things that you've been looking at in chapter 21 and chapter 22, those are all descriptions of heaven. See, it's not a recreation of an atmosphere and earth and a solar system and all. No, it's not that. It's just we're going to be in a new place, okay? And he relates that to us by saying it's a new heavens and a new earth. But it's just a new place to live, okay, for you and me. It's not new to God. He's been there as long as he's been there, from everlasting to everlasting. But it's been prepared for us to inhabit as well. It'll be for those, as it says in verse 4, who are identified with God. They have the name of God written on their foreheads, the name of Christ in particular. You know, for you and I. But they are identified as belonging to God. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Need to see what we've got up here. Okay, so no night. It's only light in contrast to this state, where we walk in light in the midst of darkness. We walk spiritually. We walk in the light, okay, of God's Word in the midst of a dark, sinful world. Okay, the only way you find your way out of this dark, sinful world is through the light of God's Word. But there, there's no sin, there's no darkness, there's only light. Okay? And they shall reign forever and ever. On their own? Do you reign on your own? No, he reigned with God, with the king, okay? Okay, also, in stark contrast to the outer darkness of the second death. You know, in the second death, you have the outer darkness. There's no light there at all, okay? So, this is a contrast between heaven and hell, okay? No light, no twilight in hell. That's hard for us to imagine, isn't it? No light at all. Forever and ever and ever. I don't want to go there. I don't think you do either. That's why we're here tonight, right? Okay. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place." So, what things are he talking about? These things are faithful and true. What things are faithful and true?
Heaven exists.
Heaven exists. Okay.
God's Word.
God's Word in general. Probably in particular, I think, you know, since we've come to the end of the book, I think he's saying these things in this book, this Revelation, this is all true. Sounds fantastic, doesn't it? And it sounds wild and crazy, you know, kind of stuff. But he says, I'm telling you, this is the truth. Okay? And he kind of explains that, I think, when he says, the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. You see? So, the validity of what he is saying is that, God has warned before about the closing of ages, you know, when he judged Israel and Judah and so forth. He gave warnings through the prophets. Well, this time the warnings, the make preparations, are really given to us through an angel. You know, well, several angels, we might say, okay? But we have a heavenly messenger, you know, directly giving these things to John, of course, who's writing them down, but pretty special, you know, when you think about it. The prophecy now returns to the original purpose of the Revelation letter, to strengthen and encourage the church during the time of Rome. Okay? That's not to say that it doesn't strengthen and encourage the church in every generation, but this was written to that particular generation to encourage them. And it encourages us when we face the same kind of circumstances. They are again assured of judgment against Rome and of the victory of Christ and his saints over the forces of Satan. They are again reminded of the rewards of a humble, courageous, faithful, and godly life. So these things are things, you know, he's talking about things which must shortly take place. Okay? So he's not talking about the things that he was talking about primarily towards the end of chapter 21, you know, where we saw that Satan is loosed, you know, after his long extended period of being chained in the pit and so forth. And then he deceives the nations and surrounds the camp of the saints, and the Lord returns and judgment. Not talking about that time, okay? We're given insight into that, but he's talking about primarily, we're still talking about the things of their generation, okay, of that were happening with Rome, to encourage them. You know, that generation isn't going to see the fulfillment of what we see at the end of chapter 21, or chapter, I keep saying 21, I meant to say 20. They're not going to be alive when that happens, you know. We may not be alive when that happens. We may be alive when that happens, I'm beginning to think, but we'll see. Verse 7, he says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Does quickly always have to do with time?
No, quickly
Yeah. Well, time doesn't mean anything to God. You know, 1,000 years is a day is 1,000 years.
It also refers to the manner in which he comes. Not necessarily the time, but the speed at which he comes. You know, we're told he'll come like a thief in the night, unexpectedly.
Okay. Could have to do with that. You know, you won't know. There won't be any kind of building up to it. Also, you'll find if you run a, if you get out a concordance and look up the word quickly and then start running through and see all the places that it's used, you say, well, he's not talking about time here. He's talking about the certainty with which it's going to happen. Okay, so, and that's part of the, you know, we're still dealing with apocalyptic kind of language here, you know, but the point is, he is coming. You can count on it. This is faithful and true. Okay? So the word quickly here is not necessarily talking about how fast it happens. It's just, it's certainly going to happen. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. So do you see how the word quickly agrees with the balance of the verse? Well, what if I don't keep the words of the prophecy of this book? See, what if I think, well, I don't know if this is true or not. So I don't know if this is certain or not. Okay? Well, he's saying, I want you to know that I am certainly coming, and you need to be ready and keep the words of the prophecy of this book. Okay? And you might say, well, how do I keep some of the words of this prophet? He's talking about things that are going to happen to people. Well, think back to the letters to the seven churches at Asia. There were things that they had to keep. There were things they had to repent of and do the right thing. And there were others who were doing the right thing that needed to keep doing the right thing. Okay? So that's what you need to keep in mind here. You know, it's easy for us to look at those first seven, or to look at those letters to the seven churches, and then just kind of separate those letters from the rest of the book. No. The rest of the book is really explaining what he was talking about to those seven churches. You know, when you talk about the Jezebel and all of that, well, that's all explained to us, isn't it? With the harlot and all that. Remember all that? I mean, you know, you have to keep all of that in the, you know, he doesn't go off and leave that. He's explaining what he's writing to and about in those seven churches. And so we have a greater understanding of it. Now, I, John, saw and heard these things. I'm kind of getting behind myself. Now, I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of the book, worship God. Okay? So when John says, I saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw these things, makes you wonder why he switched them, but nevertheless, when I heard and saw these things, I fell down at the feet of the angel, okay, of the messenger. What things is he referring to? It's not just the things in chapters 21 and 22. It's the entirety of the book. In other words, by the time you get to this part of the book, John says, I see the big picture now. I see it, you know, and that's why he falls down. I mean, it's just like, you know, this is awesome. And every bit of it had been awesome. But when you get the whole picture and it all comes together, it's overwhelming. And that's what happened to John here. No, it's not the first time. It's not the first time. But he sees the big picture. And so, you know, what did he do? He fell down at the feet of him. And the angel said, worship God. So what does worship mean? Worship means to bow down. See, that's literally what the word means, is to bow down. Now, you can expand upon that and say, you know, you humble yourself. You bow down before God. You don't come before God with a haughty spirit. You don't come before God and say, well, this is what I think and this is what I feel and all that type of thing. No, you bow down, okay? But literally, I mean, physically, it means to bow down. We realize that spiritually, we bow down in worship. We don't literally bow down, although there wouldn't be anything wrong with it if we did. But John was physically bowed down here. Any questions, comments, observations? Okay. And he said to me, Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And so, verses 10 through 15 repeatedly contrast righteousness and unrighteousness. Once again, like I said, as you begin with verse 5 or 6? Go back here and look at it. Verse 6. As you begin with verse 6, that's when he's really summing up the book of Revelation. Okay? These things has reference to the entirety of the book. Okay? Here, he says, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, the entirety of the book. You see? So we're coming to the end of it. This is the conclusion of the book of Revelation. You see? The time is at hand. It's certain. This is going to happen. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. In other words, is this the time of... it's certainly not time to jump ship if you're on the Lord's ship. You know, if you're in the church, don't jump ship. Okay? This isn't the time to stop being unholy. This is the time to stay the course. Well, what about those who aren't in the body of the saved? They've set their heart against God. It's not that you ever give up on anyone, but he's saying, look, this is the way it's going to be. Judgment is coming, and when judgment comes, that's where it's going to stay. That's where it's going to stay. And really, I think we're given kind of a glimpse of what it's going to be like, you know, just, you know, when the camp of the saints is surrounded and, you know, there's only a few faithful on the earth and they're being persecuted, to the point of death and annihilation, and the Lord steps in. You know, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's going to know the time has come. Nobody's going to repent. You see, they are filthy and they're going to remain filthy. They're unrighteous. They're going to remain unrighteous. You see, they're just, the time of hope is over. Even with God. Okay. As far as anybody repenting. Okay. And behold, I am coming quickly. Again, the word quickly, assuredly, I'm coming. We need to be ready. And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Have we heard that before? Pardon me?
Parable of the talents.
You know, in essence, that's the way Jesus concluded the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, you know, we've heard this over and over and over again throughout the New Testament. Okay? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. What's the difference between those terms? Alpha means what? What? Okay, well, it's the first in the Greek alphabet. Alpha, Omega, it's the end, okay? But that's the beginning and the end, okay? So the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Three different ways of saying the same thing. We say he said it in triplicate. When you say something in triplicate, how certain is it? It's absolutely certain. That's the point of that, okay? Is there anybody who wants to argue with that? So who God is? Anybody want to argue with that? I don't mean anybody here. I mean anybody anywhere. Yeah, there's people that argue with that, right? Well, you just can't argue with this. Okay? Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. Well, we saw that, right? Chapter 21, chapter 22. Gates of the city, what are they made out of? Solid pearl. Pretty cool. You ever see a pearl like that? Never will. You know, I mean, you know, is it really pearl? Can't be really pearl, right? Because there aren't any pearls that big. But is anything impossible with God? Could be really pearl, I guess. But it's beautiful, right? Who's going to enter into the gates of the city, to walk on the streets of gold that look like glass? Who's going to do that? Those who what? Those who keep His commandments. Have we heard that before anywhere? If you love me, keep my command. Well, looky here. Looky what happens if you love God and keep His commandments. Pretty cool. You know? I mean, Debbie loves me, and what'd she get out of it? A little teeny tiny diamond ring and years of misery. But look what we get. For reciprocating the love of God by keeping His commandments. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. You want me to go there? I mean, you know, who's not going to be there? Probably neither one of the presidential candidates, okay? Unless they repent. Okay? So, repeatedly contrasting righteousness and unrighteousness and the results that happens to each. Okay? Comments? Yeah.
Couldn't understand why he was constantly under attack. Chapter after chapter, he just keeps asking.
What's going on? God, why won't you answer me? What's going on? And really, that's where the righteous of this book are. These Christians that are suffering. And God is basically saying, it's going to pay off in the end, just as it paid off for Job. Even though he didn't fully understand why he suffered everything, in the end, I was glorified through him.
Yeah.
Because he didn't give up.
Yeah.
Just like he was glorified, he will be glorified as well.
Right.
And really, that's what it is God saying to Satan, you're yeah. wrong, and I'm going to prove you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, because that's what the Christians of this generation were going through. You know, why is this happening? How long, Lord? Remember chapter 6? How long, Lord? How long? Okay. Well, just hang in there. Okay. And so that's a good point. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root of the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Morning star, where does the morning star rise? In the east, okay? So, you know, and you've got several Old Testament prophecies and New Testament prophecies, you know, referring to the morning star or the from the east, you know, he's come from the east, you know. So all